It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Synergy Connection Show. Today's guest is Victoria Hawkins, and our topic is going to be something I think is super fun, which is Animal Speaks. And it's about finding out who your animals that are walking through life with you, and we're going to talk about animal totems as well. So Victoria is a LCSW, which is a licensed clinical social yes. worker. And she's my guest, obviously. She's been here before. She's an artist, an author, a psychotherapist, a yoga and dance instructor, a mom, and a suburban shaman, which I might have you speak to that for just a sure. couple of seconds as well. She's created a whole self approach to working with students and clients of all ages. She incorporates art, creative movement, wisdom, teachings, creative writing, yoga and mindfulness meditation when she's working with her clients. But before we begin our conversation, I do want to remind everybody listening to the show that I would love for you to check out the Boomer products link on my website at synergyconnectionradio.com. I am becoming more and more convinced that wellness is literally at the foundation of living our best life, and that is my logo, is connecting the dots so that you do live your very best life. So if you go to their website, I personally use their products, and I do think that they are quite literally life-changing for a great many individuals. If you were to make the decision to use one or more of their products, if you use my name, Lucy, L-U-C-Y, in the promo code, you do receive $5 off of each and every order. And it's pretty easy to set up an account on their website. And I think you've used a couple of their products.
I have.
They've made a difference for you as
yes,
well.
Yes, definitely.
So I want to come back to that one statement about a suburban shaman. So what does that
sure.
actually mean?
Well, I feel like it's a term that I kind of coined. I can't say that I found it anywhere else, but I always like to have a humorous approach to life. Mm-hmm. I've been that way my whole life that I can remember, always a little bit of a humorous side to everything I do. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I thought years ago is that in order to become more connected to my lineage and my earth roots, that I was going to have to go somewhere else, up in the
like
mountains.
Another planet?
Maybe so, yeah. I really, it's interesting to me because I have never been to this particular state, but for some reason, the state of Montana felt like where I needed to go.
Oh, it's beautiful there.
I'm sure. I've only seen movies and photos, but
you probably wouldn't want to come back.
I think that I would stay, probably.
Okay.
And I thought years ago that I was going to need to go to someplace like that in order to, like, really connect with that piece of myself, which I was discovering was a big part of me, is the mm-hmm. the part of me that really does connect to the earth and everything, all the other living beings mm-hmm. around us. And it really wasn't accessible, though, for me at the time. I had young kids. I was a pretty newly single mom at that point, and to think that I was going to go away to Montana wasn't very practical
and
raise my children.
Okay.
So instead, I really made an intentional decision to find the ways that I could connect to nature, the outdoors, within the community that I was in, mm-hmm. which is a suburb in the Tampa Bay area. And I was really grateful to find a neighborhood, actually, that is built on some eco-friendly parameters. So we have a lot of preserves in our area. We have some peace, even though we're very close to modern life. And I always think it's interesting is if I walk outside my neighborhood, there's cars, there's every fast food restaurant you can imagine. But within the confines of my neighborhood, I always feel excuse me, like I am in this pocket of peace.
That's great that you found something like that, because not everybody has it.
No, and I really feel I was drawn absolutely to this neighborhood. It was not by chance. For sure.
Have you seen all of the huge apartment complexes that are going up everywhere?
I have. It does feel sad to me sometimes, actually, I've got to say.
Yeah, 54, you know, going over the Land O'Lakes, just has these enormous complexes. And Highway 19 has got a lot of them. And one of my concerns, and I would think you would feel the same way, is that people are not going to have a peaceful haven to go home to. They are going into these gigantic complexes near busy highways, you know, breathing all of the tire dust and every other kind of chemical that's out there in the air. And so they have nowhere to go back and connect with Earth or connect with spirit or connect with the universe. And I'm wondering how much more anger we're going to see as a result.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point, Lucy. I have been grateful to have that pocket for myself. And actually, I'm over near that 54 area. So one of the things that's happened is we've watched some of the fields that have been there for many years because the whole area that I'm in was ranch land for
forever.
So ranch land with cows and some horses, but mostly cattle ranching. And it does still exist, but it's getting smaller and smaller. And in its place, they are building a variety of some neighborhoods that are still, there is a family that's interested in the development of more eco-friendly. So it is there, but the majority of the ones are what you're talking about. They've raised the trees and they're building an apartment complex and homes and all of those kind of things. And so we aren't getting that same protection from the other elements that are there.
Well, and to me, not only that, but you're going to have more and more cars. You know, because if you have a development that can house 5,000 people, then you've got 5,000 cars minimum.
Right.
And so 54 is going to become another 75, you know, going north and south, and this one goes east and west. But I do wonder, on an environmental level, I mean, even the cattle that's left behind or the chickens that are left behind, they're breathing in the same air.
They are.
You know, that we are.
They are.
And it's becoming less and less good oxygen, so to speak.
Yeah.
So if we take away the trees and we take away the plants that are giving us oxygen, even though we're putting in palm trees and a few other things that are Florida friendly, it's not the same.
Yeah, and I think that this is part of my discovery, is that we have to be even more intentional about how we create the environments of our homes, and as much as we can, even bringing in some of those pieces into our actual homes. Because like you're saying, for some people, if you're in an apartment that's right next to a busy road where they tore down the trees to build the apartment and they haven't got really new things, new growth that's there yet, nothing established, then you're going to feel those effects both mentally as well as physically, as you and I have talked about too.
Right.
So I think that some of the strategies that I have used over the last few years as this idea of the suburban shaman is to bring in certain things that we can have in our homes to assist us with those kind of things right in that space.
Right.
Because we won't get it outdoors as much.
Right.
And also I do, as we've talked about in past shows, make plans every year to go somewhere to be rejuvenated around even more of that outdoors.
Right, and not everybody's going to walk the Appalachian
Trail. And not everybody's
going
to do that. So I think it's really looking at how can we find those ways to continue to connect with what I see as like our cousins, because I think I've probably said this with you before, but I really remind myself all the time that we are part of nature. It's not nature and then humans.
Right.
So connecting with like our cousins, the trees, and our cousins, the animals, and our cousins, the flowers, that's the way I kind of think about it for myself. And how can we connect with those parts of our family,
right,
so that we continue to be nourished, and they do too, actually,
right? Because
it's a relationship
with us. Since I have seen you, one of the things that was really, really interesting, probably a month and a half ago now, is that I was over at Anderson Park, which for those that are in Pinellas County, it's a park that's close to Tarpon Springs, or maybe right at the edge of Tarpon Springs. But I was walking on one of the trails, and there were, you know, those great big grasshoppers that we have. Well, there were two of them making love right in the middle of the trail. And, you know, you could have stepped on them, you know, because they sort of blend if you're not looking down.
Right.
But something made me look, and it was like, whoa, you know, hi, guys. And they could care less. I mean, they were like, okay, if you want to watch us, that's
right.
Fine. But it is a matter of going someplace. And we do have a lot of beautiful parks. So if people are living amidst a lot of chaos and noise from traffic, and maybe they're on a flight pattern into Tampa International Airport or something, then go find a park maybe at least once a week and go sit in nature. Go do your exercises there. Go write or read there. But do something that takes you out into nature.
Yes, I think that that is, it's a huge thing. Like I said, I have that in my neighborhood. So every day, part of my day is to walk in the neighborhood to explore and connect and see what messages I get. That is part of my daily practice. I did it this morning. I try to do it in the morning. That's my favorite time to
A little cooler weather.
A tiny bit of cooler weather the last 2 days, which I've been enjoying immensely.
Yeah, our falls here, for those that are not in the Florida area, unless you're in northern Florida, our falls don't really begin until December.
Absolutely.
So we get cooler weather then for a few months.
We got a kiss of cool in the air yesterday, and I was loving it.
Oh, absolutely. It's so fun.
Yeah.
So when you connect with nature, and so this is a good maybe transition into talking about Animal Speaks. How did you begin to recognize that there were certain animals in your life? And from what I understand, the animals might not always be the same throughout your entire life. There might be different times that you will have one animal with you for a period of years, and then it'll be a different one. But how did you begin to recognize your animal guides, for lack of a better word?
Well, I think I love this story when I tell it, because I think one of the things that's interesting to me is, like you said, there's the idea of what I have been studied to call power animals. And those are usually one or two that do follow you throughout your life. Possibly more, but for most people, one or two. And often I find that the power animals are ones that people just really love. Like, for an example, I had a client, a teenager, who used to come up from Clearwater area, very busy. This was a number of years ago, so we weren't quite as busy up in that 54 area that you're talking about. We had a lot more fields and cows. She loved cows.
She
loved to come up to my office.
Right.
She was a teen, so older teen. She could drive herself. And she would be so excited when she arrived because she had seen cows on the way. And she's like, I don't know why I love cows so much. I just love cows.
Did you tell her she should live in Wisconsin?
That's for sure. Wisconsin, I have been to. So we actually talked about that, because this is a topic that I've really been into and studying for a number of years. So we talked about that. I said, well, cow is probably a power animal for you. So what are some of the elements about the cow? And it was one of the things to help her in her teen years, recognizing some of her identity, you know, and some of the parts and pieces of her and the strengths and characteristics of herself. So power animals tend to be ones that follow us through our lives.
So what was the cow to her?
The cow to her, well, one of it was like a sensitivity.
Okay.
And
like their big long eyelashes.
Yeah, they have like a compassion and a sensitivity. And then there's also a patience to a cow.
Right, they chew their cud.
They do. And so these were some of the aspects of her that she was able to discover that she actually had, which I think is a neat thing too. So when we can connect to some of these power animals, you know, just starting with that, those are often characteristics that we also might embody as the human beings with personalities.
So did she recognize her sensitivity and her patience?
No, not prior to that.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that I think that they do for us, is they are part of giving us these messages.
Right.
And they just keep showing up. Right. And then when you start paying attention a little bit, they show up more. People give you things, like items with a cow on it, you know, if we're mm-hmm. using her example, mm-hmm. or, you know, she would find things like that, right. a pillow with a cow on it, or the cow print, or...
For myself, turtle is a really yes. big, and I've been collecting turtles for years and years and years. And of course, my book is all about mice.
Yes.
And so the mice have been around for probably the last 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they were before that, but I might not have recognized them.
Right. But definitely a big component, those two big components in your life. Mm-hmm. And you've been drawn to collecting turtles for many years before mm-hmm. you might have even thought about all of these different other
exactly.
aspects of
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And that's what I find for most people, is that there's certain things that they've been drawn to. Mm-hmm. Another example is my granny, who has been passed for a number of years now, but she loved hummingbirds.
Oh, how sweet.
So sweet. So she had a little kind of a trailer that they turned into a home for her. You know, mm-hmm. it wasn't mobile anymore, but mm-hmm. a little home for her in her older years. And it was small, and she had a big bay window on the front, though. Mm-hmm. And she had hummingbird feeders outside.
Oh, so she could watch them.
So she could watch them. And she loved to write letters, so she would write. She had her writing desk. She would watch her hummingbirds. She had hummingbird brooches and ear bobs, as she called them, because she didn't wear pierced ears. Uh-huh. And hummingbirds were her thing. So to me, hummingbird is a power animal. For my granny.
So if you see a hummingbird today, do you think of her?
Absolutely. Okay. And my granny communicates with me through hummingbirds.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. And has always given me them. Well, especially, I shouldn't say always, they might have been there, but I didn't notice them as much. Mm-hmm. But I saw that as a connection to her, as the hummingbird. Because it was such a special thing to her. Right. And I remember it, you know. Right. So when I started paying more attention, which I have this delineation that you'll hear me talk about a lot, but I really made some intentional switches in my life now 11 to almost 12 years ago, where I was kind of see it as like drawing a line in the sand and saying, mm-hmm. okay, things are going to be different. When I did that, I became more open to messages from my guides, mm-hmm. and some of which were not humans anymore for that time period, but really going internal and connecting with these other guides.
Right.
So the hummingbird became, for the first time in my life, actually, except for probably when I was younger at my granny's home, mm-hmm. I saw a hummingbird in the neighborhood that I'm in now. And it was right after I moved there, which was a huge shift.
That would be. It would almost be like she was saying,
"You're okay.
You're okay. I'm here."
Yes.
And
yes.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So that would be something I would call a power animal mm-hmm. for my granny. And it's also one that I connect with as part of a totem for me, which I'll kind of talk about in a minute. But the way that I started really connecting to one of my main power animals was funny to me, because one of my main power animals is the hawk.
Okay.
My last name is Hawkins. Mm-hmm. However, that's actually my married name. But I had gotten married young. I have all my licensure and everything in Hawkins. And truly, I love the name Victoria Hawkins. I think it's a fantastic name.
It is. Did you say thank you very much?
I did. I really love the name. And actually, my boys also, that is their name. And when...
So you kept it.
Yeah, I kept it. And it's a connection for all of us that I
exactly.
thought was really important for them, mm-hmm. and also less confusing, and didn't want to go through and change everything. And I really didn't necessarily feel connected to my maiden name growing up. It just wasn't something that I was like, oh, I really want that as mm-hmm. my last mm-hmm. name. So I had kept the name Hawkins and, you know, just going along through life. And I just started having these hawks show up. And I mean, this was real life hawks.
This was at the time of your divorce?
This was right after. So
right
again,
after.
This
okay.
is, at my divorce, I probably, the first hawk I saw was in a tree outside my house at the time mm-hmm. with a fish. eating it on a branch. And I was like, whoa, that is a little bit crazy, because mm-hmm. we had some ponds and things, but I had not had, you know, a bird of prey lunching in my in my front yard before. And I noted it because it was there for a long time. I mean, it let me take pictures of it. It was pretty amazing. And then moved about another year after that into the where I currently am. And they started visiting me more up close. So I even had one fly so close in front of me that I could have touched it.
My goodness.
Just swoop right in front in these big wings.
So did they leave you feathers?
Yes. I have a ton of hawk feathers. And I actually created a smudge feather mm-hmm. with a little collection of feathers, because we have some amazing birds in our neighborhood. Hawks are one. But we also have the sandhill cranes, the very tall, awesome. Beautiful, yes, yeah. elegant.
Have you seen them dance? How they do their mating dance?
No, I haven't.
Oh, that is so fun. Because they jump around. I mean, they are absolutely courting each other.
That is so cool. So,
that is very cool.
We often have babies mm-hmm. in our neighborhood because we have a couple of families of sandhill cranes. Mm-hmm. We have Rosetta spoonbills, which are...
They're beautiful.
Florida, I believe, a Florida-based bird. Absolutely gorgeous. That salmon-colored pink.
And for those that don't know why it's that color, it's because of the shrimp they eat.
Yes.
So the little pink shrimp make their feathers pink.
And then they almost have, if you have seen pictures of flamingos, they have the look of a flamingo with those pink feathers, mm-hmm. but they're not a flamingo, and they have a big spoon bill on the front of their, that's their beak is like a spoon
they're
bill.
They're not nearly as tall.
No, they're shorter too.
They're very short.
So I've got a lot of winged, which is funny because actually my business name that I took many years ago is Winged Treasures.
There you go.
And
did you realize, did you pull those
together? I had not pulled that together. This was before my divorce. I was looking for a name because I also create art, and I was doing a lot of festivals back then. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for a name that connected to the power of eagles, actually. But I liked the femininity of the word winged.
Winged.
Mm-hmm. And that became my business name. And then, so you can kind of see how we start to choose things,
right.
but we don't really know why we're choosing them. Mm-hmm. And then as we become maybe more conscious of it and intentional about it, then mm-hmm. those messages start to be more clear. And so later I look back and I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that I chose this name probably 3 years before I even started to really feel that deep connection with the earth, to see the messages through animals. And the hawk was the first one. And it finally dawned on me because I was having this moment where I was like, well, maybe if the kids get older, maybe I'll just take on another name. And like I said, I laugh about a lot of things. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just become Victoria with no last name, you know, like, or make a symbol like the artist formerly known as Prince. Or I had all these funny little things that I would think about. Uh-huh. And it was during that time that I was thinking of changing my last name at some point that the hawk became so prevalent to the point that they were flying down in front of me.
So in essence, they were saying, keep what you have.
Yes. And at that point I realized, okay, this is a totem for me. And so I began to research more and, you know, see the hawk as one of my power animals. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, interestingly, that came out about the hawk is they also are the idea of the care of the earth. So they're some of the winged animals that we have are, well, the birds of prey fly high.
Right.
And they look down on the situation, they have a big perspective view.
Right.
So rather than getting too down in the details, coming up above, looking and seeing this big world view.
Right. And I always thought of them as like the word awareness.
Yes.
You know, be aware,
yes.
look around, see your impact.
Right. And hawk eyes, we talk about having hawk mm-hmm. eyes, so having keen vision.
Right.
Which can be obviously literal keen vision, but also keen vision, like with our mind's eye, mm-hmm. you know, really
see where you're going.
See where you're going. And actually, you and I used the word discerning today before mm-hmm. we came on. And I think the hawk is about discerning as well.
I think so.
Choosing yeah. things that are wise for you.
Well, you know, there's so many symbolisms that go with, you know, hawks, with egrets, with...
Yes.
But I mean, I think also a great many of the birds mate for life.
Yes.
Until. And, you know, either one dies mm-hmm. and then they have to pick another mate, or one maybe becomes unable to care for the other one.
Right.
In terms of providing food or something. And then they may, you know, separate at that point for reasons of just being able to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very, very interesting how that longevity and, you know, being concerned for Mother Earth.
Yes.
Looking around and seeing, you know, maybe what's happening. And for humans, not so much. Mm-hmm. You know, they just kind of look and see what they want next, and more of a consumption than it is anything else. Or that is what it's appearing to me to be these days.
Yes. And I don't know if we've ever talked about the idea of rainbow warriors. Have we talked about that before?
Haven't.
Okay. This is interesting because this was a while ago that I was first introduced to the prophecy. It's actually, I was going to call it a legend, but it's actually a prophecy of mm-hmm. the rainbow warriors. And then more recently, I started seeing some information on, from another tribe from South America, the clan of the red-tailed hawk.
So there you go with hawks again.
Right. So rainbow warriors is, from my understanding, more North American tribes.
Mm-hmm.
The clan of the red-tailed hawk is the South American, but they're both going, they're talking about the same thing.
So North and South.
North and South.
Mm-hmm.
And the rainbow warrior prophecy is about the idea that, and this was prior to what we're seeing now that you and I have been talking about already today, more buildings, more cars, more... abuse and mm-hmm. of the earth, right?
It's more consumption.
More consumption,
right.
Yes. So the prophecy was made, and I do not remember the name of the prophet that was a Native American at the time, but he talked about how humans would misuse the earth and that it would start to suffer the consequences of mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. Yet there would be a tribe of individuals that came in called the Rainbow Warriors.
So maybe we're part of that tribe.
Mm-hmm. And the Rainbow Warriors would come back to remind people of their relationship with the earth.
Right.
And that was the mission of the Rainbow Warriors. And one of the reason I know about this actually is that, again, similar period of time, all mm-hmm. these awarenesses started happening. I started seeing these things in the sky that, again, Native American term for it is called sun dogs. And it is not quite a rainbow like we think of a full rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
Although I started seeing double rainbows like crazy back then. I mean, I would see double rainbows all the time. I'm like, where in the world are all these double rainbows coming from?
Right.
But on top of that, I would see these things called sun dogs. And the best way I can describe it is like the sun is shining through a cloud, and so the cloud actually turns into the colors of the rainbow.
I've seen that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is one of the signs of the Rainbow Warriors. So people who notice those are often, I am finding over the years, drawn to learning and being more aware and connecting more with our brothers and sisters of the earth, you know, the trees, the flowers, the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And the sun dog was the first way that I learned about the rainbow warrior prophecy, and was told about it by a good friend of mine. Actually, her and her husband, but particularly Miraja, she was the one that said, oh my goodness, because I was going to her house in St. Pete from my area. I think I was already up in the Newport Richey area, and I was with my younger son, who was quite young at the time, probably kindergarten, maybe, or four even. And we both saw it. And I passed him my phone and I said, take a picture out the window, this little kid, of this sundog. And then I showed it to her. I said, I've never seen anything like this, because we were on the way to their house. And she told me
the prophecy.
The prophecy.
Uh-huh.
Then more recently, I found the prophecy of the clan. They call it the clan of the red-tailed hawk. It's the same thing, that there's a group of individuals that are here through the ages, but here to remind us that we are to care for the earth and be in communication and relationship with the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of our mission. So it makes perfect sense as to why the hawk is one of my main totems. And the way I see it is actually my crown.
Okay.
At my crown chakra.
Okay. And I know you mentioned before we started the show that you actually do a program. I think it's an online program.
Yes, I have an online training course that I made that is available through transformationservices.com, and it's a course that is on using shamanism either for yourself as an individual, and there's a lot of cool art activities that you can do because I love to add in the art.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it talks about bringing in some of the bits and pieces of nature into our homes to keep our homes purified and clean and help us to tolerate better, like, our cell phone use and all those kind of things.
And we talked a little bit about 5G.
We
and
did.
That's really scary.
Yes.
When you think about how that's going to impact all of us.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so that course is going to teach you some of these things that you can use.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a personal one to do just as someone for yourself, for your own personal growth. But there's actually one, too, that's geared towards people who are already life coaches or therapists, mm-hmm. to use with your clients. So that's a great way to continue to learn.
So how would they, if they wanted to sign up for that particular mm-hmm. course, how would they go about doing that?
They can go on to transformationservices.com, and that's where that course is located. And it's called Shamanic, the one for the life coaches or therapist is Shamanic Life Coaching Certification. And the other one, I believe, is Shamanic Tools, but it's the only two on there that are called shamanic.
So is that where the art classes would be for somebody who, let's just say, wants to learn how their totem animals work?
They can also work directly with me, too. So that would be an online course that you would take at your leisure.
Mm-hmm.
You would sign up for the course. You would have it available to mm-hmm. you at any time of the day or night.
Okay.
And it's pre-recorded, so you would watch the videos and get the handouts and things like that.
Okay.
If they'd like to work more individually with me, they're going to want to go and contact me at wingedtreasures.com, which is my personal website.
Okay.
And they can send an email to me through that.
And what would they say in the email so you would know exactly?
Sure. I would just have them put in there that they are interested in learning more about using shamanism in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good way for us to get started.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about these animal spirits that are in our lives. And you and I had talked before we started the show about the chakras that are in the body and
right.
having animals basically at each one of those junctures. So
yes.
let's go there.
So this is a really neat way to visualize. One of the things that I also do is teach yoga. And so I have been very interested and engaged with our chakra system, which is that energy system that
mm-hmm.
we all have.
Mm-hmm.
And in yoga, we mostly talk about seven chakras, but also other cultures as well talk about energy systems. They may just have different words for what they call it.
Right.
So one of the activities that I did a number of years ago and then I do with individuals is to tap in, maybe do a simple meditation, and see which animals you would associate with each chakra.
Okay.
Because each chakra has its own signature. I know you've done some shows based on the chakras before, too. So
right.
each chakra has its own signature.
And would everybody's animal maybe be different, depending? Because
definitely.
Like for the root chakra, which, you know, is red in color,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean that it's going to be a red animal.
No.
It could be just any animal.
that yes. could be there.
So, for example, for me, I associate root chakra with stability. Mm-hmm. That's one of the biggest things I associate with it for me. Okay. Root chakra equals stability. Now, it means lots of other things. Okay. But
so a stable animal?
A stable animal, okay. exactly.
All right.
So in my mind, a stable animal is an elephant. It would be challenging to move an elephant.
Very true.
And I also really enjoy the Hindu god Ganesh. Mm-hmm. And again, it's an elephant.
Right.
And it's a really compassionate, loving god to me. And so root chakra, safety, security, stability, mm-hmm. it's recognizing that love and care in my life. Mm-hmm. So the elephant is, for me, what is the indication of the root chakra?
So what would be maybe another animal other than an elephant mm-hmm. that would provide that same type of foundation?
Sure. Some people I've noticed enjoy the bear. Mm-hmm. Again, there's a nurturing aspect of the bear.
Yeah.
But there's also a strength. Mm-hmm. And even fierceness if needed to be.
Right. I think you go on Facebook periodically yourself. Mm-hmm. So there, in the last couple of months, there have been some beautiful pictures of mother polar bears and their babies.
Yes.
And, you know, so they can be fierce, yes. obviously, but they can be incredibly nurturing.
Yes. And I think that there's some balance with that, with our root chakra,
exactly.
is being able to use both sides of right. our energy system, right. both the masculine as well as the feminine.
Okay.
But I've seen all sorts of things.
Like the sacral is next.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is more representative of, I don't know, like birthing, you know, being, having the energy, you know,
yes.
we think of energy coming from the root and then going up,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, at the sacral, it's more of, for lack of a better word, I just think of birthing, you know,
yes.
giving birth to something.
To something.
And so what was yours at that point?
Mine at that point is a jaguar.
Oh, really? All now, right, so we've got speed involved.
We've got speed involved, yes, which doesn't surprise me about me. But there's also there is a creative energy
mm-hmm.
there to
mm-hmm.
that chakra mm-hmm. and a waiting until the timing is correct for felines.
Because mm-hmm. they pounce.
Because they pounce.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of that idea of letting things formulate
mm-hmm.
and then
jumping off.
Jumping
yeah.
and taking the action.
Have you, speaking of mm-hmm. which, and I'll bring up another Facebook, somebody had sent me this, but it had to do, I believe, with a jaguar. But it was one of the big cats, at
yes,
least.
Yes, yes.
Down in the Amazon. And they had been filming it because they can pull these gators, you know, like an alligator out
yeah.
of the water. And the gator is as long as they are, or more so, and probably about the same weight. And so they're very crafty, and they watch for just the right moment. And, of course, they've got those immense claws.
Right.
And they jump on top from an elevated position, down on top of the alligator or the crocodile, depending on, you know, which
mm-hmm.
place they are, and drag it. They swim with it and drag it up the bank. And off into
wow.
the woods. And, of course, that's a lot of food for their young and for
sure,
themselves.
Sure,
but craftiness,
mm-hmm.
power, strength, all of those would be associated with, you know,
right.
something like, you know, a big cat, a
right.
jaguar. My cats tend to be smaller. and I'm sure that I've had cats all my life, so I'm sure a cat is a totem
yes.
in there someplace.
Yes, and I think that those are other ways that I find that people will connect, even if they don't know anything about what we're talking about or aren't even
mm-hmm.
all that interested in exploring,
mm-hmm.
but they'll have a real love for cats or they'll have a real love for dogs.
For dogs or birds.
Or birds, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes. Or they love to take pictures of those kind of things.
Right.
You know, maybe they, I've seen with all the different hiking and we actually have a Florida birding trail. I've seen lots of people doing photos of
mm-hmm.
birds,
mm-hmm.
you know. So sometimes people are connecting without a real intentional consciousness about it.
So if somebody is wanting to do their chakra
mm-hmm.
totem, is that the correct terminology here?
That's what I call it,
okay.
yes.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody's wanting to do that, I guess the importance of understanding the chakras as they go up in levels and what that chakra represents.
Yes.
And then thinking about what animal is in my life that is associated with that kind of energy. And
correct.
Then kind of pulling it back into place.
Right.
So then the solar plexus is next.
Mm-hmm. So we have the solar plexus next.
Yeah. So what animal did you choose for that?
So
that's your being.
Right. So this one is an interesting one for me because I actually have a seahorse at that spot.
I would have never picked a seahorse. All right. So are you the male or the female? Because the males have the babies.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, the males have all the babies.
Well, I had always associated actually that with a male seahorse for me, but I forgot about the males having the babies.
Yeah,
so that's
the
an interesting thing.
Yeah, they are the ones.
There is a water... The seahorse came about because I've always had a lot of my life I've had a fascination with mermaids.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in Florida, so lots of water around me.
Did you ever want to be one of the mermaids up at...
I absolutely wanted to be a mermaid. I had a friend who was a mermaid at Wikiwachi.
Wikiwachi, yeah.
And more of an acquaintance because she was the sister of a good friend, you know.
Okay.
She was a little older than us. But she was a diver, a swimmer. And... what I realized at that time in my life was, while I loved to swim, I was not that strong. You know, like, I had not trained in swimming. I was a dancer, but I had not trained in swimming. And the athleticism of the mermaids is high because they are actually doing an entire water dance underwater.
Underwater.
After
with those tails on.
With the tails on, and you only get to come... Well, I mean, they get to come up if they need it, actually. But they have a hose that they... take air off of, and then they perform.
Wow.
And then they'll swim up to the hose every once in a while and get another breath. So they're actually performing with the oxygen that they have in their bodies. It's pretty amazing.
That would be, because I really hadn't thought about that. I was thinking that they did a lot of it on the surface as opposed to
it's
under
actually
the water.
Underneath. And I grew up going to that because I grew up in Brooksville, which is kind of a sister town to where Wikiwachi is. And that was where we took our field trips, all elementary school, went to Buccaneer Bay, which is a little small water park that uses the spring there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen the mermaids really since I was a little kid and was quite interested in them. And then when I would go to anybody's pool, because we didn't have a pool, I would pretend to be a mermaid coming out of the lights. I mean, I had this thing where mermaids lived in the lights. Who knows why? So when I initially was doing this, I kept connecting with the idea of a mermaid as that piece of me.
Mm-hmm.
But a mermaid is not an earth animal,
right?
So I was like, okay, well, I'm not looking at mythical creatures on this, even though it's not that I don't connect with certain ones.
So you look for something that had a tail.
Right. And the seahorse to me had that shape and grace that I envisioned with the mermaid.
Yeah. There is, I don't know which one of the seahorses it is. They look like leaves. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Seen them. I get obsessed with them, as you can hear me talking about them whenever we've gone to any place that has an aquarium. But I don't know the name of it anymore, but what used to be the Lowry Park Zoo, I think it has a new name now, they have a whole water section, and they have multiple different kinds of seahorses in there.
Yeah.
And I could stand there forever and watch them. They're just beautiful.
Yeah, they are.
So there's a beauty to them. There's a grace to them. Yes, power center, but also, like you're saying, like that sense of like who we are. So there's a lot of that I connect to with that.
Okay. So you kind of, you know, again, I'm going to go back and help people follow this a little
bit. Yes, sure.
So we've taken the root with the power up through the sacral, which is the birthing of who you are. So that was your jaguar, ready to pounce on the world.
Yeah.
And then moving up through grace and beauty
and
delicate. I mean, seahorses are extremely delicate, but very, very resilient.
Yes.
And so I love that part of them. And so now we move up into the heart.
And so heart chakra, I actually have two.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens for people sometimes, I note. Especially lately, people are connecting with an eighth chakra, I'm finding. Because just as a information for some, even though we mostly talk about seven, we have thousands of chakras because it's your whole energy center.
It is.
And I'm finding one that's emerging more for people between the heart and the throat. And so some people will call that the high heart, and that's mm-hmm. what I call it too, okay. For lack of another word for it. So I have two, and so it's probably my main heart chakra and the high heart.
Mm-hmm.
My main heart chakra, I have the panda.
Oh, and they're just all about fun.
They're all about play. Fun and play.
Right.
And there's a softness to them.
Absolutely.
And just,
do you like bamboo? Do you chew on it?
I don't chew on it, but I do enjoy it. I think it's really beautiful.
It is.
It's really beautiful to me. And then at my high heart, I have the hummingbird.
And that would be for your grandmother.
And that is like for my granny.
Okay.
And there's also a, there is a lot of strength with the hummingbird too. You know, their little wings
mm-hmm.
are extremely strong.
Oh, endurance.
They have
sure.
great endurance.
Yeah.
So bringing the heart into the throat
uh-huh.
is where I see that hummingbird is like powering up
right.
the heart to move it into expression into the throat.
To move it into expression. Okay.
Yes.
So now we are in the throat chakra.
Okay. So this one's really fun. And it's the blue whale.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which are known for singing.
That's true. They have a melody.
And they're huge.
Gigantic. So you have a voice that carries over a lot of space.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is actually true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a microphone
mm-hmm.
most places. I have a voice that
projects.
I okay. laugh about it because if I'm whispering, people know exactly what I'm saying. So I can't be talking about something or someone without them knowing.
Without them knowing, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
I have a voice that projects for sure. But also the sound therapies
mm-hmm.
I have found to be very useful for me as well as I've used those some
mm-hmm.
with others. A lot of my shifts and transitions are done with mantras.
Ah, okay.
I use mantras and affirmations,
so, tonality.
Words, tonality,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and even making tones
mm-hmm.
To release emotion, to bring in a new feeling.
Which brings me, I guess,
mm-hmm.
to another little point here, is that you have Native American in you to
right.
begin with. Crete? Was...
Creek. But Creek is more what I call the slang name for it, because
okay.
they had tribes near creeks,
yes.
near waterways.
Right.
Muskegee is the other
Muskegee.
More technical term.
So when I think of tones,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, we have drumming for Native Americans,
yes.
but we also have a lot of their chants.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
they do chanting nonstop when they worked with tribes bringing in the crops and harvesting
yes.
and, you know, sending out spirit. And, you know, even when they went to war, they obviously did a lot of
mm-hmm.
chanting prior to that to bring in, I think, their own guides and guardians that would protect
yes.
them in battle. So it's interesting that you would have picked the blue whale with tones, having Native American in your background.
Yeah.
You know, because to me that is like, okay, that makes absolute sense.
It does. It does. And when I first had seen the blue whale, I was kind of like, well, that's interesting. Because, again, I do this more with a meditation and just kind of asking
so
for things to come in.
So the blue whale came into
mm-hmm.
your vision, really?
I actually had a dream about the blue whale.
Really?
Mm-hmm. A number of years ago now. And it was a whole, I tend to dream long dreams,
mm-hmm.
but it was a whole series of things that was occurring. And the blue whale was like communicating with me.
Right.
In the dream. And when I came out of the dream, I mean, I was sleeping dream, not just like a vision
mm-hmm.
type of a thing. When I came out of it, it was something that had really made an impact with me.
Mm.
And I also began at that point, one of the ways that I learned about all of these different animals was really just by researching them and seeing what resonated for me. And then more over the years, I think about what the animal might mean to me. So that's a way that I try to help people look at this too, is there's a lot of different information. There's books written. I certainly have ones that have been my go-tos, but part of it is also filtering through your interpretation of it, because we all have our own perspective of what an animal or a bird or an insect might mean.
Right. For those that aren't all that familiar with the colors.
Yes.
The throat chakra is blue.
Oh, yes. And, oh, my goodness. I didn't even think about that, yeah, but you're right.
So mm-hmm. the blue whale would certainly be wow. symbolic there. But on a biblical sense, I'm drawing a total blank, but who was it that was swallowed by the blue whale?
Oh, Jonah.
Jonah, okay. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, the whale spit him out later. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't know, that seems like there's some symbolism there. That,
yes.
that a lot of times, with our throats, we don't speak our truth.
And that was why he was swallowed.
Yes.
And he wasn't speaking his truth.
He had to learn how yep. to say what he needed to say. And you, as you've evolved as a therapist mm-hmm. and then as a suburban shaman now, but I think you are speaking more and more and more your truth as time goes on. So maybe the
Definitely.
Blue whale is also symbolic of, you know, the amount of truth. So the size being a whale,
yes.
and then the amount of truth that you have to share.
Oh, I love that.
So.
And it has absolutely been an evolution and a getting comfortable,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting comfortable with
who we are. Yep. Yep.
And that doesn't happen overnight.
You know, for some people it never
yeah,
happens.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
I mean, they may go their entire life not quite understanding, you know, the uniqueness of who they are or how special they are or
mm-hmm.
the energy they bring into the world. You know, they only see themselves in this little finite box
right.
of I am a male, I am a female, and they don't get much beyond there.
Right, right.
So this is, I guess, an effort to maybe share more and more of the infinite possibilities that we all have.
Yes, yes.
All right, so the blue whale was at the throat,
mm-hmm.
and then you move into the third eye.
Yes, so my third eye is a moth.
Is there a particular kind of moth?
Well, I get a lot of different ones. Again, this started as a dream, too.
Mm-hmm.
Again, many years ago, I had this dream before I started putting it together, this chakra totem idea. In the dream, I'm a person walking along, leading a group of children, but it doesn't necessarily feel like that they're children. Maybe the idea of just being a guide to
right,
people.
Right.
So I'm leading them on an adventure.
Okay.
And
it's interesting that you and I both use the word adventures.
Oh, yes.
We love going on adventures.
I love going on adventures, and right. I say I go on adventures all the time in my life.
Yeah.
So in my dream, I'm going on an adventure with this group of people following me.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I turn around, almost like Wonder Woman, because I was really into Wonder Woman when I was a little kid.
So you were twirling?
I was twirling
okay.
in my dream, like Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And I open up my arms, but instead of being arms, I have become a
wings.
Moth.
Oh, you're the moth. Okay.
So
okay.
in my dream, I turn into a moth. And then we just continue on with me leading them as the moth. Like
and
nothing
they
happened.
They didn't become moths. They stayed children.
No, they're still children
or,
you know, individuals that I'm guiding.
Okay.
So the moth I placed at the mind's eye, one of the things about moths, which is different than butterflies, actually, mm-hmm. moths are more associated with our lunar side because they mm-hmm. mostly come out at night.
Right.
Therefore, they are associated more with that feminine side of ourselves, the lunar feminine side.
Well, and I think intuition is a
Correct.
Hidden. Is hidden. And so moths are more hidden
mm-hmm.
Because they don't come out during the daytime. So
mm-hmm.
you have to be looking more.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, the mind's eye is that, you know, kind of a seat of psychic abilities for myself or intuitive abilities.
Right.
Using those skills
mm-hmm.
more and more and becoming more and more comfortable with them.
Yep.
And in that dream, I saw myself as someone who was me, but turning into this version that is more comfortable with, because it was extremely comfortable and nobody seemed to have an issue with the fact that now a moth
is leading them.
I think I had legs, if I remember correctly, but I had sprouted wings as well.
Oh, that's interesting that you became a moth. And I will share with you a little bit about the reason that's interesting.
Oh, good.
Is about 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
My cat was looking out onto the lanai. And all of a sudden, she went into a pounce position. And I thought, uh-oh, what's out there?
Mm-hmm.
And so I came over by her and looked. and there was a huge moth, a lunar moth,
oh, wow,
that was on the screen, and it was probably from wingtip to wingtip, I'm going to say 5 inches,
mm-hmm,
and about 3 inches long.
Wow.
And it stayed. I went to get my phone because I wanted to take a picture, but she didn't stay, or he didn't stay. And so it kept fluttering. It kept coming back into view, but it never landed again. It just stayed there for, I don't know, maybe 2 minutes. And then it went away. And
wow.
So it was just absolutely beautiful. Their wings are mesmerizing to me because they're translucent,
mm-hmm,
and so delicate. And yet that body is a pretty good sized body.
Yes.
So the next weekend I was at Brooker Creek, and I saw one of these big lunar moths that they had there in like a little box.
Yes, yes.
And so I knew that that was what,
okay,
I had seen. And I guess they don't live very long. You know, they have a very short life.
Yes.
They live long enough to mate,
okay,
lay eggs, and then they die. So,
wow.
I think if you've chosen the lunar moth, you know, probably spirit is also showing you that we have a reasonably short time frame as it is human life. You know, it seems like it goes on for a long time, but
right,
really, in terms of infinity, it's just a blink.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have our moment to share our intuitive understandings, and then it's gone, much like the
yes,
lunar moth is gone.
And I think that that has been a big message to me over the last year. I've
mm-hmm
had some loss in my life. Well,
mm-hmm,
of course, we all have, I'm sure, but
right,
I've had some real poignant losses this past year.
Uh-huh.
And that has been the reminder to me, is that, you know, now is my time.
Right.
I am here now.
Right.
And I'm here for purpose.
Right.
And I can choose to use that,
those
gifts.
Your gift. It is your gift.
And, or I could choose not to, but that I am really coming into that idea more and more of using those gifts,
mm-hmm,
and sharing what I think I'm here to share with the world. And part of it's this stuff in a fun way that we can use in our lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, anytime we can connect in a bigger picture.
Yes.
You know, not just we're, you know, like maybe a mother, a father, a child, you know, ourselves, a teacher, a doctor, whatever. But when we can step back enough to actually see that this is a huge way of sharing, and that ripple effect, you know,
yeah,
we can touch so many lives just by making a difference over here, but it can make such a big difference maybe way over here that
mm-hmm
we don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm conscious of our time is,
yes,
coming to a close. So I know at the top of your crown, you know, you do have your particular hawk,
yes,
that is guiding you and making you aware of, you know, take a look, discern,
mm-hmm,
using discernment, making sure that the impact that you leave on the earth is one that's positive and,
yes,
good. And I know you do that.
Yes,
so,
and becoming more and more aware of that,
yeah,
in my life.
Well, such a fun show. Again, let people know how to find you one more time,
sure,
before we close.
So the best way to find me is either through my website at www.wingedtreasures.com, and that's WINGED. treasures.com. And you can also find me on Facebook with the same page. Wing Treasures LLC is,
okay,
the Facebook page. Those are the best ways to contact me, I would say.
Okay. And if they like your page, they might be able to begin to communicate with,
yes,
you that way too.
Yes. You can send me a message through that, and you can also see what I have coming up as far as workshops or individual sessions and things like that that I'll be sharing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll definitely put that link out when, you know, the show is over, and we'll make,
great,
sure that people can see that. Well, thanks, Victoria, for being with me again. I know we're going to do other fun shows after,
mm-hmm,
the first of the year. So this is just truly a neat relationship that we have. And again, for those listening to the show, if you weren't able to maybe catch it live with other friends or family members, let them know that they can go to synergyconnectionradio.com. All of the shows are archived there. There's a number of shows Victoria's done with me in the past. And be sure to click on the Boomer link and explore their website. Their products are truly life-changing, and I hope some of you will take advantage of their $5 promo offer. So go out there and make this your very best day. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.